Will we ever stay at a deluxe resort again? Let's discuss. Welcome to Princess and Scoundrel, where we take you along our scrappily ever after, from Fantasyland to Tatooine and everything in between. I'm Sarah.
And I'm Steven.
And we're talking resorts today, specifically resorts at Walt Disney World.
There's a lot of differences.
There is.
We have learned.
And we have strong opinions now. Shocking opinions.
I wouldn't say strong, but okay, I guess.
I mean, for maybe like...
We have opinions.
We have opinions. This conversation stemmed from a recent trip we took in December, and we stayed at a deluxe resort. Typically, I like to call myself the self-proclaimed pop century princess.
Well, and I think that's the thing is like we... When it was us traveling, we were very budget friendly. We would consistently go to Pop, and we knew all the nuances with Pop.
Right.
You got into being a travel agent, so we had to like try different hotels to kind of be able to recommend these and you know, these different hotels and find out like how is it good, how's it bad, and whatnot. Just basically to give recommendations.
Right. So not to upsell anybody on a vacation or anything like that, but just like, what is it about this resort that everybody loves or that they maybe don't love, and like help guide my clients.
Yeah.
So we've been staying at different resorts. We are no longer just Pop Century princesses. We've branched out a bit. And so I think we've stayed at about 7 different resorts across the 3 different resort categories. And we should probably touch on that first for people that are not like super in the know with how the resorts work. So there are value resorts, which are typically on the lower end of the price points. There are moderate resorts, which are right in the middle. And then there's your deluxe resorts, and they have deluxe villas and all this other stuff. But basically, like, those are the balling out.
And resorts. These are specifically, again, to kind of clarify, are Disney resort, Disney property resorts.
Yes. Yep. Owned and operated by Disney. Yeah. They have some other ones that are like the Swan and Dolphin that are kind of there, but not really. They have some that are over by Disney Springs that are on Disney property, but not run by Disney. Like, there's different ones, but the Disney resorts, there's those 3 categories. So we've been trying new ones. We wanted to break down some of the differences between the two and like our experiences with those, just to help other people. Cause I think we wish we had known this stuff.
And the other thing too is the value doesn't always mean that it's the cheapest priced. Because there are times that the moderates tend to be a little bit low. Like at certain times, they could be the cheapest.
Yeah.
Now, as far as the
I don't know if the deluxe ever dips too low.
Like that's gonna stay the deluxe, but I think that was the first time that we stayed at French Quarter was because it was cheaper than Pop. Wasn't it?
I don't know if Pop wasn't available, or maybe we were going with other people.
Okay.
They're like, let's go to Port Orleans French Quarter.
Okay. So
it was nice.
We made it. Took a chance and enjoyed it out there.
I think it was also because Cheryl, my sister-in-law that we were traveling with, was like, you can't stay at Pop every single time. So let's first talk about the amenities between the 3 different resort types, because I think that's probably the most important. And it may or may not be important, because some people are like, I just need a room to sleep in. I'm not going to spend any time in my room. I don't need lots of bells and whistles, right? But for the most part, if you're looking at, say, the pools, at a value resort, you're going to get pools, but they're going to be pretty basic. You're not going to get any like water slides. You may have a little splash pad, but that's about it. Once you move into the moderate resort category, you're starting to get water slides. The pools are a little more than what you can get at like a community neighborhood pool, right? And then the value or the deluxe resorts are just like crazy, like water park. Some of them can be like crazy water park ones. Like we stayed at Yacht Club, and that's one of the nicest pools on property.
Yeah, it's got the lazy river.
It was bonkers. it looked really cool.
And that
cool.
was something that we didn't really like think about, because again, we kind of used the hotel as just this is where we sleep for the night, because we're always at the parks.
Yeah.
And seeing that lazy river was pretty cool.
I know. But we went in December, though.
So, yeah, that's the other part of it, is like it was kind of cold. Well, cold. It's not cold because they keep it warm. But, yeah.
No, thank you. Not for me. Not in December. But yeah. So if you are planning on having like pool days and you're not going to be going into the parks, especially like we're very fortunate we have annual passes, so we can be in the parks all the time.
Yeah.
People that want to plan in a resort day, or they just want to take a day off of being in the parks and like rest their feet, look at places that have nicer pools if you want to do time in the pools.
Because we don't. We have the APs. We don't think about that. Is the day that you say that we fly in, we typically would do either a, before we had the annual passes, we would do like a Disney spring day or something.
Just
because we wouldn't feel that we would get a complete, our value for a, right. a park ticket.
Yeah.
Because we're flying in at 1 o'clock. You know, we're still wanting to kind of rest. Like yeah, we're ready to go, but, you know, it's still kind of like slow going.
Pace yourself.
Yeah.
Well, our very first trip, actually, I think that was the very first thing we did. We checked in a Pop Century and we went and we got in the pool that day.
Yeah.
So you do it. Like if you are going to plan for a pool and you don't want to pay for the water parks and go do the actual Disney water parks, you just take into consideration what type of pool. If you've got little kids, they're probably going to want to do the cool fun slides and things like that if they're old enough to do that. So things to keep in mind.
Yeah. And I think the you know, just when we're talking about the pools too, is to really consider, you know, Pop being that really family centric place, or like the value places, they're going to be larger groups of people. So there's going to be a lot of people in those pools. Whereas in the deluxe resorts, you know, you have two or three people in, you know, where, you know, I noticed, and again, it could because of the weather.
It was December.
But there wasn't that many. So you kind of had free range of the whole pool.
That's true.
So I think that just really, you know, and this is kind of one of the arguments that I have where I wasn't too crazy about the deluxe resorts, is they're mainly for more grownups. There isn't that many kids.
Right.
So when you have kids,
and they're loud.
Yeah, and they're loud. It like it's, you don't want to ruin anybody else's time.
Right.
And if they're trying to be, you know, be in the lazy river trying to relax, you don't want some kids splashing and making noise and, you know, just kind of being a kid.
Being a kid.
And so I think that's something to, you know, again, to also think about.
Yeah. And that's probably something we were putting on ourselves, but it is a good point to make. And it's not an amenity of the different resort types, but just kind of an effect of the resort types and the price points, is that the value resorts are typically going to have more families, bigger groups. You're going to see like the cheer groups, the school groups, church groups, like you're going to see bigger groups of people there. But you're also just, you know, if it's a young family that's traveling to Disney for the first time and this is their big Disney trip, they're probably staying at a value resort.
Yeah.
Moderate, gets a little quieter.
That typically is when it's the, what are they called? The convention?
Yeah.
The convention people. So it's like not deluxe, but it's just like it's comfortable and it's quiet.
Yeah.
So that's kind of like a Coronado.
Coronado is one of the biggest convention ones.
But they actually have a convention center.
Attached to the resort. And so that's where like almost every single convention is there. But they also have some at like Contemporary, which is a nice deluxe resort. So deluxe resorts just on average tend to be quieter. And they, the theming, I guess we could talk through the theming too of the different ones. You're going to a value resort. You've got like huge statues of Disney characters everywhere. It's like overly themed, like
super colorful,
really fun. Like we love it. The moderate resorts are going to be themed more towards locations. Coronado Springs is like Mexican inspired. Port Orleans, both of the Port Orleans resorts are like Louisiana style. What are our other ones? Caribbean Beach, that goes without saying what that's themed like. And then you get into the nice resorts and they're also themed similar to moderate. You've got the Polynesian Resort, the Contemporary Resort that's real clean and modern, Grand Floridian.
But isn't one of the arguments about some of the changes that they're making to the more deluxe resorts is they're stripping the deluxe resorts of any kind of theming and they're just making it kind of more cold?
It's a little more, I wouldn't even want to say sterile, but just generic, theming. They're kind of taking away from it being themed to a specific place or time.
Yeah.
And trying to make it more modern. But in doing that, they're kind of just making it all look similar.
Yeah. I think that's one of those things. Is it doing it just to deluxe resorts, or is it doing it to all of them? Like, where it's just like slowly going to evolve into being very quote unquote sterile.
I mean, it could be. So like, let's look at Coronado Springs, because we've stayed there a few times. When we very first stayed there, the very first time, we did not get a refurbished room because they refurbished them, I think, maybe 4 or 5 years ago. And it was very overly themed in the rooms. Just a lot more like intricate designs, and it felt old. There was carpet in there.
Yeah.
But it was more Mexican themed. Now when we stay at Coronado, it's like the hardwood floors, the plain bed, like maybe a few little touches, but it's not
as themed.
Yeah. Yeah. But then you look at, say, Contemporary, and they just redid the rooms in Contemporary. And we stayed in one of the newly redesigned rooms, and it was Incredibles and like mid-century modern.
But I think that theme goes with that, like that design goes with that theme, because it's that mid-century modern where it's like.
But they went hard with that theme. Yeah. They didn't just like, oh, here's a couple mid-century touches. Like, they went in with it. And yeah. I really liked that. I liked that they really went with it because it felt just fun.
Yeah.
It felt like a fun room to be in. When we stayed at Yacht Club, it just felt like a hotel room. Like, there wasn't anything to me like stand out about it.
Feeling, yeah.
Like,
no, I mean, I think it was, again,
it's yachty.
It was a you know, nice sized room. And yeah, it didn't give me like a feel of, well, yes and no. Because remember, we ate at the, what's the resort next to it?
Beach Club. We went to Cape May.
So the feeling of like the lobby, mm-hmm. and just like the aesthetic, not in the room, but just through the resort. It did feel more yacht club feeling. Right. And then when we went to Beach Club, it felt more beachy. And it was funny. I'll tell my story. Is they're right next to each other. And we're walking from Yacht Club along the Lazy River. Like, oh my gosh, look at this. Look at the, what's the ice cream shop? Beaches.
Beaches and Cream.
Beaches and Cream. You're like, okay, maybe we get some ice cream later. And then it's almost like you're walking past the plane of like, oh, it feels a lot different here. And it's like kind of just more, there's kind of pink on the wall. Yeah. It's brighter in there. And I was like, man, it feels like real beachy over here. And you're like, so did the last resort feel kind of yachty? And I was like, well, I guess. Because I caught on that. I was like, oh, this is the Beach Club and that's the Yacht Club.
But
so,
you picked up on it.
Yeah. And I felt that when I went in there, it was like seashells, you know, there's paintings of seashells, beaches, and they've kind of got that, just kind of that sea, you know, beach feel.
Yeah. Like the lighter wood tones.
Shiplap and stuff like that.
Yeah.
So, I mean, again, they presented it well.
Yeah.
But I don't know how the rooms look. And again, the Yacht Club rooms, they don't feel like Yacht Club. They just feel like a room. It's the rest of the resort that felt more nautical.
Right. So that's a good point. The other things about resorts that I think we should call out is the size of the resorts. So value resorts, it doesn't really matter what resort you stay at. Disney's got some big resorts. Like,
yeah.
Massive resorts. And there's some of them that we won't stay at anymore because we're just like, it's too big. Like, that's a long walk to go refill your refillable mug. and so we don't want to take the chance on it. But it doesn't really matter what resort type you stay at. It could be, you could be staying at a deluxe resort and you're in this massive location. So.
And I think that's something to consider, like, for like accessibility wise, like mm-hmm. walking. Or if you're in having a stroller or wheelchair type of thing, because again, we have a stroller with us, and you know, we've had a stroller every time we've gone, so we have to look at where the elevator is compared to our room. And sometimes our room is really close to like a central area, and if we could go down the stairs, we would be, you know, right out into the middle. but we have to go back more into the central, like whatever the building is, to go to the elevator.
Right.
So we're double backing each time just to get to our room.
Right. And you can request a ground floor room. That doesn't mean that you're going to get it. Like any room requests you put in are just at their requests. Yeah. But that is something to keep in mind, is you can do that. Now, the other thing is, and this is different with the different resort types, is that value and moderate deluxes, with the exception of Grandesino Tower at Coronado Springs, are exterior hallways and doors, meaning it's kind of motel setup where you can see every single hotel door, hotel room door, if you're walking the property, versus deluxe resorts where they are internal hallways. Like a typical, like a hotel where you're taking an elevator, you're taking stairs up to your floor, and you're walking down the carpeted hallway to your room. Something to keep in mind if you are thinking about, like, you want a ground floor, or if you don't like the thought of staying in a room on the ground floor and you're at a value resort, your hotel door is going to be outside.
Yeah.
So keep that in mind as well. But yeah, in terms of like the size, we stayed at Contemporary, and Contemporary is that building, and that's it. It's that building. I mean, there's also Bay Lake Tower, but it was so nice because we were at the elevator within a minute of like walking from our door. Yeah,
because the elevator is central, and there's just the kind of the alleys of...
It's kind of like an H.
Yeah.
But yeah. It was like super convenient for that. Versus when we stayed at Yacht Club, our room was like one of the furthest ones from the elevator.
Yeah, it felt like it.
And we were up on like the fourth or fifth floor.
Yeah, I mean, but in the elevator we were probably right over, like if you would see an image of Yacht Club, they typically send that picture of that main entrance, or that, I guess, exit, because it's not the where the vehicle drop is.
Yeah.
But it's on the other side. Like that is like the picturesque image of Yacht Club.
See. Yeah.
That is central, but the elevator is, and I think that's kind of where our room was, mm-hmm. facing that, but the elevator is further into the building.
Yeah.
So you're having to walk again. It's kind of double backing. You're going out, having to go up, and then wind your way over.
Yeah.
So it's cumbersome, especially when you're pushing a stroller. And
it's honestly, it's pretty hard to push a stroller or like your luggage on carpet. And that's something you don't think about because you're like, I'm at this nice resort. Like I stayed at Grand Californian at D23, and I had to like pull my luggage on the carpet and, by myself.
You could get the carts.
Get the carts.
You get the carts, or they could bring it up there. But we're kind of like, we want to get it done, right? Yeah. We're do-it-ourselfers and...
Right. Minor inconveniences.
Well, I mean, and speaking of like minor inconveniences, that this last trip that we went, well, not last trip, but one of our most recent trips, my foot was hurt.
Mm-hmm.
And so I was having to walk a lot more. And this is where it really affected me, because I was coming back from the park, you know, hurt leg, you know, just, you know, pride's hurt and everything. But I'm having to walk further out to the elevator, further back to the, you know, hotel room. So if it was in that situation, because it was at Yacht Club, if it was at a pop, I would have just said, hey, you take the stroller, I'm gonna take the stairs, because this is like the quickest route to our room.
Right.
But there was no way to do that with Yacht Club.
Yeah. And so, also because it was carpeted and you were almost using the stroller like
a walker.
Like a walker. You're just like struggling even more to like push it. It was a whole thing. So yeah, things to keep in mind.
Yeah.
But I think let's move on to transportation and like the location of the different resorts, because Walt Disney World property is absolutely massive. And you don't think that it's like, it's hard to put into scale how large the property is. The four parks are not next to each other. They are all spread out across the property. And so some of the resorts are near those parks. So if you're looking at a value resort, you cannot walk to any of the parks from value resorts.
But you can take a Skyliner.
You can take a Skyliner. And that's the surprising thing to me. So there's three different, let's say three, maybe four different transportation options. There's the Skyliner.
Okay.
There is the monorail, which everybody's heard about the monorail. Oh, yeah. There's boats. There's boat options. And then there is the buses. every resort is serviced by buses. Some of the parks you can't even get to by anything else but a bus, like Animal Kingdom. The only way you can get to Animal Kingdom with the free provided Disney transportation is through a bus. The other ones, you got a couple options. So Skyliner, it's so strange to me. And I guess they had to do it based off of like what resorts they could hit given the space that they had. But there are two value, one moderate and one deluxe resort on the Skyliner route. And that takes you to Hollywood Studios and Epcot. And we have loved Pop Century since before the Skyliner was even announced.
Yeah.
But man, with the Skyliner, Pop Century is just like...
I mean, Hollywood Studios is a hop, skip, and a jump from...
Almost literally, that's what you have to do to get there. You hop on the Skyliner, you skip to the next line, and you jump on that Skyliner.
Thank you. Thank you.
You're welcome. Thanks for setting that up.
But no, it's like... It's so nice being able to just, again, walk out and hop in your little gondola and you're good to go.
It's wonderful. So, because it might be an illusion. It might take you just as long to get to Hollywood Studios via Skyliner as it does via a bus. But you're not sitting there waiting for a bus to come up, because I don't know what it is about standing in line waiting for something to show up and you don't know when it's going to show up. It could be a minute from now, it could be 20 minutes from now, but just something about it just like stresses you out, right?
Well, I think that, and then just like, am I going to fit? Are we going to fit? And if there's going to be enough seats, there's a lot of like variables that you start worrying. Okay, the kids like stay out of the road because it's, you know, they're wanting to run around and stuff like that. So I think there's just a lot of things, a lot of moving parts that you're just kind of like, okay, we got to look for the next bus because that's the one we're going to have to get on.
Right. Is it this one? No, it's not that one. There's an added element to stress, stress to it versus the Skyliner, which you get on and you go.
Yeah.
It might be a short line, but I haven't seen the lines be too bad for Skyliners.
I think it's the longest that we've seen it is whenever it's like rope drop early morning.
Yeah.
And everybody's trying to go to one of the two parks.
Right.
So,
and it can get long then, but typically it's not bad at all.
But it's moving. It's constantly moving. So,
and that's the wonderful thing is you're not just standing there waiting for 20 minutes in one spot. At least if it's a 20 minute wait, you're like inching up. So you feel like you've made progress.
You're starting your park day already.
Like your little progress bar. Yeah. So those are the Skyliners or the Skyliner. And then, like I said, there's buses everywhere.
But see, this is leading up. Again, this episode is just going to be a complete, I'm not going to say the word, but just complaining session by me.
No.
My foot got hurt and we stayed at a deluxe resort because it's a walk to Epcot.
Yeah.
It's a walk. This is probably as close you could get to Epcot
as
possible.
You can see Spaceship Earth.
Yeah. Like this is incredibly close. Yeah. Hurting your foot, you can't walk that much. And, you know, and again, there's little, you know, ups and downs. It sucks because it's right there. And I was like, I can't, like, I have to take a break. And it's one of those like defeating things where you're like, like, we're so close. And normally I would be able to walk this, but I can't.
Yeah.
Like, because I'm in pain. And so it made that trip not miserable, but just unpleasant, because it would have been nice to be able to just go somewhere, sit, and it'll take me to the park. And then from there, I could start kind of getting my, you know, start getting the pain, right?
While
I'm there. But I'm already like feeling the pain before I even get to the park.
Yeah. Well, it also didn't help that our room was really far from the elevators. Like, it was already like, there was just a lot of walking. I mean, it's a Disney trip. There's a lot of walking involved, but yeah.
When you're adding extra walking that, when you're really trying to time it right, you're like kind of like, oh man, I'm walking even more than I normally would.
Yeah. So you bring up a good point. Location of some of the resorts. There are three resorts right there on what they call the boardwalk, which are right there next to, like, they sit at the back of Epcot Park. You walk to them.
Yeah.
You could take a boat if you want to, but you're kind of just waiting for the boat to take you and like drop you off like 2 minutes later.
Oh yeah.
You can walk to it. It's like a 10 minute walk from the resort to the back of the park. It's fantastic. And also the Skyliner, but it's fantastic. But those are deluxe resorts. Then say you jump over to like Magic Kingdom, there's a couple of resorts there that you can walk to Magic Kingdom. You can walk from Grand Floridian and from contemporary. And like, if you're really, really like
wanting to
walk more than you absolutely have to, you could walk from Poly probably, but don't do that. You've got the monorail too. So the monorail services those three resorts and it'll take you to Magic Kingdom and Epcot. Fantastic. But we stayed at the Contemporary in last year. We walked to Magic Kingdom.
If I could go there more often, if we could go there more often, that would be my first choice.
Yeah.
Because it was incredible to be able to watch the fireworks, Magic Kingdom fireworks, from our room.
Yeah.
And being able to walk from the park. In the fact that on one night, we were in Magic Kingdom, we ordered, because I got to have my Casey's, you know.
Your little hot dog.
My little.
What are they? Corn dog nuggets. Yeah,
corn dog nuggets. It was, I think, 10 minutes before, or maybe 15 minutes. We'll give us 15 minutes. Yeah. I don't know. Maybe it was 10 because we ran. Or we kind of trotted back to the hotel. But everybody's camped up, ready for fireworks, and it's packed, right? You know, Magic Kingdom, it's packed. Mm-hmm. We're leaving and then looking like we're trying to get back to the hotel. But we're trying, or we are, but not to the buses. We make it back. We have all our snacks, all our food.
You had your Casey's. I like stopped by the quick service location and picked up like chicken strips for us.
Yeah. And so we get to just sit there in our room with our shoes off.
With like 2 minutes to spare. Like we were like, get comfortable, get your food out. And we got to sit in our room and just open the door to the balcony.
And you just see the fireworks. Incredible.
You had corn dog nuggets in the Contemporary watching the
fireworks. If you could ever try it, try staying at the Contemporary Parkside.
Yeah.
So
theme park view, main tower. That's what you're looking for.
That's what you're looking for. Yeah. So that would be a recommendation. Like once, try it just because it's such an incredible like experience.
But maybe wait for Happily Ever After to come back. I think that's what would top it. We're going to have to try it for research. We're going to have to go back and try that.
Sarah, if you you put me in that situation, you're digging a hole that you may never be able to get out of. Because
we need to stay Pop Century Princesses for the sake of our wallets and how often we go.
Yeah. Well, and
we could be Contemporary Queens for like every once in a while.
Well, because we've slowly started going into more of that moderate level because, and I think later on we're going to kind of talk about the food, but
yeah, we'll get into food later. But
that's now being a consideration. So
yeah,
I'm going to let you keep continuing your, I'm going to let you finish.
So, I mean, that's the big thing. So to wrap up transportation, keep in mind how you want to get around to the parks. If you have a stroller with you, and this is a really big consideration, if you're just going on the buses, you have to fold up that stroller. And if you've got one of those big honking double strollers, those poor dads on the buses, because it's always the dads.
Yeah.
You guys are all huddled over there by like where they typically will put like the scooters.
Yeah.
With your massive strollers. Well, and
that's another consideration is like if you are in the scooter, there's only I think two spots in there. So if there's more than two people in scooters, you're gonna have to wait for the next bus.
Right.
And you know, it sucks having to wait another 15 minutes.
Yeah.
So
if you're at a monorail resort, you don't have to fold down your scooter or your stroller. You can't fold down a scooter. And they have ramps where you can, because it's a bit of a step up to the monorail from where you're entering, but they have ramps where they'll put it up and then you drive your scooter on and you're good.
But so that one I've noticed on the like Contemporary and Poly, it's a lot easier to get on there. But once it gets to like Grand Flow, it's pretty full, like the monorail. So it's like
the last stop before Magic Kingdom.
So if you're over there, you're gonna have to squeeze in. Like they typically don't get seats unless it's like real slow on the monorail, but
right. That's a good point. And you can also walk. I mean, the walkway is closed right now, but if you want to, or scoot over.
It was just an observation I had made. I was like,
that's interesting.
They typically get the last straw on that one.
Yeah. So, but for the monorail, you don't have to fold down your stroller. And then for the Skyliner, and this is why we love the Skyliner so much, is you don't have to fold down the stroller. And I know it seems like you just fold down the stroller, no big deal. If you have a kid that's fallen asleep in the park and all you want to do is go back to the park for like an hour or two and just like kick your feet up and just eat French fries from the food court and watch Mickey Shorts on the TV, which is like probably our absolute favorite thing to do on vacation besides being in the parks. If you have to take that kid out of that stroller and fold it up so you can get on a bus, it's just like, it's like playing with a grenade.
The funny thing like, is
this
like,
going to be the thing that sets it off?
This is the thing that, like, these are the things that no one talks about. We always talk about the park. We always talk about like how beautiful the monorail is, how fun it is. And you know, everybody remembers the, you know, stay behind the line. But when you're waiting for that shuttle to come pick you up, when you're leaving,
oh,
everybody's like, sweat drenched, just like they've been through like a war, a battle.
Yeah,
the kids are exhausted. Sometimes they're like still got energy. I don't know how,
because they've been chilling in the stroller. We've been pushing it around.
But you're getting into that bus, and you're just like, I want to sit down, please. Like, it'd be an empty bus, so I could sit down.
Yeah,
and you're just exhausted, you know, again, having the big stroller, you know, folded up and trying to get it out of the way with all the bags of stuff that we bought.
And there's been times where like we had a double stroller for a while. I had two sleeping kids on me sharing one seat. Like, it's stress.
Yeah. So I think that's the part where it's like, you know, it's nice having that, the Skyliner, where you just kind of like, okay, this is ours. Our little space.
Yeah. Sometimes you share it.
Yeah. But, you know, it takes you closer to the hotel. You got to switch over. But yeah.
Now the opening for the Skyliner is not very big. So if you have a single stroller, no problem. You just roll right in. If you have a double stroller or a scooter, they put you into like the accessibility line where they'll have a Skyliner that stops so that you can either fold up your double stroller and put it on or drive on with your scooter. So they have options for you there. You might have to wait a little longer than if you didn't have that situation, but I need to, as a travel agent, I need to make sure that I say that. But yeah, the buses, they're just, you don't have to do them. You can take a Lyft. You could take an Uber. You can just stay at the monorail and just go to Magic Kingdom and Epcot if you want to. But more than likely, you're going to get on a bus at some point.
And I think the thing too is with those Ubers and the Lyfts, some of them can't get as close as the shuttles. And I think
that's the minivans.
The minivans too?
Minivans can go all up to the front of like Magic Kingdom Park. But if you're taking a Lyft or an Uber, it drops you at what's called the TTC, which is the Ticket and Transportation Center, which is basically like where everybody parks if they're going to Magic Kingdom or Epcot. And then you take the monorail from there.
Yeah.
So something to keep in mind. The other thing about buses is that some of these resorts, because we talked about resort size, some of these resorts are so massive that they have multiple buses.
Multiple stops.
And some of them will share buses. So you may be staying at a resort, and we didn't experience this on our last trip where we stayed at Port Orleans French Quarter, but there's two Port Orleans resorts. There's French Quarter and Riverside. Riverside is one of those big honking ones that has like four or five bus stops. French Quarter only has one. Sometimes they will have the bus run to French Quarter and then all five of the, or three, or however many there are at Riverside. So if you're getting picked up and you're at French Quarter, you might be the first one on the bus. Or if you're staying in Riverside at the back of it, there might not be any room for you. Or at the end of the night, you may be like the very last one dropped off. So things to consider with the buses. It's not all just like a there and back type of thing.
Yeah. That was, I think one of the initial times we stayed at French Quarter is we were going to every one of those stops. And so you're just like,
I just want to go to my room. So I think now is a good time to transition to what is our favorite non-park resort activity. Just chilling in the room with some chicken tenders and French fries.
Well, I think having that reward at the end of the day of just some nice fried chicken tenders and fries is, again, it's just a reward.
It's comfort.
So it's a simple to eat. You could, you know, put it in sauce or not. And again, we typically, you know, kick off our shoes, watch some Mickey cartoons. And it's just like, we had a great day.
Yeah. And we even do it midday. So sometimes what we'll do, typically our typical resort day is we go in the morning for a few hours. We go back to the resort at lunch and we either eat lunch in the park or we'll just go back to the resort and grab food and eat in the room. And then we go back out in the evening. But just being able to be in your room with like some fried food and those Mickey shorts, or even just cable, because we don't have cable anymore. It's just like, it's such a treat. Yeah.
Well, and I think to kind of explain why we go back in the middle of the day is because we do have kids. I know, you know, there's times that we have gone, you know, full, not rope drop, maybe showed up a little bit later, but went the full day. And, you know, we were able to manage it, but because the kids, they do take, you know, when they're having fun all day, they'll take a nap in midday.
Yeah.
Or they'll just like be tired, and to keep them, to be able to keep them going to say fireworks or whatever, we kind of give them, hey, let's go take a break. You just kind of chill out, take your shoes off, and just, you know, lay in the bed. If you take a nap, great. If you don't,
yeah,
it's fine.
It is also a break for us and our feet.
No, and that's the other part of it. It's just like being able to recharge and go back.
So but why are we even talking about chicken strips in the resort rooms?
Because Yacht Club does not have a chicken strip in sight. There's in that whole boardwalk area, there's no chicken strips.
So there is one place, but it's not at Yacht Club. I don't think they even have it at Boardwalk. There's like one tiny little shack in Beach Club before anybody comes for us. We know that there is, but it's limited hours, and it was not the hours that we were wanting them. You couldn't get a French fry. We could not find anything besides a sandwich to eat at Yacht Club to save our lives.
When we came back again, and it stemmed because I hurt my foot, I was like, I just need some freaking chicken tenders and some fries, and I'll be fine. We get over there and we're like, okay, because it's the marketplace. We're like, there's just a bunch of sandwiches here.
And they're just like refrigerated, like wrapped sandwiches.
We're like, okay, let's go. What's the next place? Yeah, we checked at the Ale and...
The Lounge.
Yeah, what is it called?
The Ale and Compass Lounge?
Yeah, Ale and Compass. No, that's a sit down, like fancy dinner. I was like, okay, no.
Yeah.
So then you start doing a search. You're like, well... They have this place on the boardwalk, but it's closed.
And I'm like, there's a pizza window.
So I'm like.
So we hobble to the pizza window.
Well, we take the boat across, but the boat doesn't come directly across. Like it goes that way, but it doesn't come back. So we get the pizza and we have to walk back.
And it's December.
My bum foot.
It's cold. You've got a bum foot. You didn't even want pizza.
And by the time we get to the room, the pizza's cold.
Yeah.
I wasn't happy.
It was not the vibes.
It was not at all. So I'm like, never again. I'm never staying at Yacht Club again.
Day one, declared it. You got your hurt foot. We got cold pizza.
So it was, you know, the scenario wasn't great.
Yeah.
Again, it was nice because we, you know, we did go one of the days to the dinner over at Beach Club.
Yeah, that was a really nice dinner.
It was, if you love seafood, which I do, and I do not. Yeah, and we don't usually eat seafood because you don't, like none of the rest of the family does. But it was an opportunity for me to eat seafood, so I enjoyed that night.
Yeah, and if you don't eat seafood, the food was still really good. Yeah. Like I ate really well that night too. So
so I enjoyed that. If we would have planned better, I probably would have enjoyed the lazy river.
Yeah.
But again, the part of it that where it always gets me and it's always a consideration for us is the kids.
Mm-hmm.
At Yacht Club, it's quiet. And the walls, like, I don't think they were any more sound barrier than if it was at Pop. I think it's just quieter because there's more adults there. Because whenever you would hear the kids or hear kids, it would be a lot louder.
But here's the other thing. I think because the deluxe resorts have the interior hallways, that it's just the sound is just like bouncing around in between them. I don't know.
Yeah. So it's one of those things that I feel, again, I don't want the kids to interrupt anybody else's vacation, but it almost seems like it's that much louder. Whereas like if we were at Pop, go crazy.
Go ham, man.
You are not the loudest people here.
Nah.
So like we are comfortable with it. Even contemporary, because you've got the monorail going through, like,
which was surprisingly quiet.
Yeah, but I mean, it's not a thing of like we're worried about noise. And again, maybe it's the way the
contemporary setup.
Yeah,
because they've got like Chef Mickey's down at the bottom, so the sound comes up, but it wasn't loud there.
Yeah.
But you didn't feel like you needed to be like best behavior. It felt like we were at like. Not like church, maybe if, like we were at church or like at a library.
It's like a fancy, like, fancy place that should be quiet.
But so to circle back to the food bit of it again, because Yacht Club is not the only one that's like that, but typically when you're looking at resort, like food options for resorts, all of the value resorts are going to have like this big food court, and that's going to be their only option. It's a big food court. There's usually a handful of stations where they've got different things. You got your chicken tenders, your french fries, your burgers. Probably like pasta.
A pizza.
There's always pizza. And then they'll have like salads and packaged stuff as well. And they may have a few things that are like specific for that dessert. Pop Century's got tie-dye cheesecake. As many times as we've stayed there, we've never bought the cheesecake. But that's all you're getting at a value resort. So if that's what you're good with, which we have learned very quickly that like we are comfort food people and like not being at home and having the stuff that we're used to, we just revert back to like chicken strips.
Yeah.
Like that's what we want. Moderate resorts are going to have a food court, multiple stations. You're going to have, for the most part, it might be a little bit pared down and they may have things that are specific to that theme of the resort. Coronado Springs is going to have like tacos and burritos. Port Orleans is going to have like fried chicken and gumbos, and they're going to have beignets and things like that. And then when you get to, and they'll have, almost all of the moderate resorts have a sit-down dining option, also like a table service restaurant, and then they'll have lounges and bars. The deluxe resorts may or may not have quick service. They may not have a food court. If they do have quick service, it could be super limited. Yacht Club did not have hot food. They would heat up sandwiches, and that was like it. And they had like Mickey waffles in the morning. And then they're the ones that typically have one or more table service restaurants, one or more lounges and bars, that type of stuff. So if you do not know the sweet, sweet life of sitting in your hotel room at the end of the day with just a big old thing of french fries.
And again,
and you want that.
It's different because if it was like a couple single type of thing, like, hey, let's go to the bar. These other places would be where you want to go, right?
Great.
You go hang out and just like, because like there was the bars, like, you know, the Ale & Compass has its own little lounge.
It's a lounge, yeah.
So it's just a chill, you know, where adults could go have some drinks and
or even
chill.
Like with older kids too. It's yeah. Just like, we don't have that. We're a young family. But, and the other thing is, it depends on your eating style on vacation. If you like to go do table service and or eat at the parks for all of your meals, it doesn't really matter what the food is that they offer at the resorts. But for us, we just like, I don't know. We don't mind eating in public. It feels like we're like, let's go back to the room.
I think that's, and again, where kind of earlier when I was talking about, we recently stayed at French Quarter, mainly because of the beignets.
Yes.
And we've kind of like narrowed it down that moderate level is that happy medium mm-hmm. where they've got the comfort food, but they also got a little bit more adventurous stuff. So if you wanted to try other things so that the kids, if you know, again, the kids are going to have like the most basic mac and cheese, you know, fries, chicken, like they don't want it to look different than what we have here.
Right.
But we could still try other things.
Yeah.
And I think that's the nice, like, you know, as far as food, kind of that happy medium.
Oh my God. Was it the first night we went and just bought like all the beignets and we bought the boozy beignets? And then you were like, I'm going to go refill my Coke cup. You come back with like french fries and chicken tenders.
I had to. It was our first night back. And I was like, we are redoing our last trip. And I am getting chicken tenders and french fries. And we sat in the dark because the kids were asleep because they had a full day. And
with our boozy beignets, do you want to talk about boozy beignets for a second? So they have, you can buy beignets, you can buy the regular beignets that are Mickey shaped. And then they have, I forget what they're called, like Baton Rouge beignets, where they will sell it with these little pipettes of like Bailey's or Kahlua or rum chata. And you inject it into the beignet and eat it like that. But what we've learned is it's just easier to shoot it in your mouth and then take a bite of beignet.
Yeah. So because it gets absorbed into the bread, the breading. Yeah, so.
And then it just gets soggy. So we just like, we deconstructed the boozy beignets, but it was just like heaven to have not had that experience on our last trip to be able to do that on this one.
Yeah.
It was great. We should not have eaten any of it. We both had tummy aches.
But it was wonderful when
it was great.
So I think that was like the big kind of revelation for me, at least, where it's like, we're staying at the deluxe and we've stayed at the deluxe before, but it wasn't the best experience. And it was nothing necessarily on that something was bad, something was wrong. It was based off, again, my situation. Like, I hurt my foot.
Yeah.
And we don't like to get or we want this comfort food at this certain time.
Yeah.
So it just didn't match up. It didn't align with those preferences. It was nothing to do with like we had bad service or anything was bad. But
yeah,
it's just, this is where you have to consider your way of traveling, your personal preferences when you pick these places, because you're like, wait a minute, I really like to do this in the middle of the day. This resort doesn't have that.
Right.
Or, you know, I'd like to do this in the middle of the night because, you know, maybe you like to go have a drink in the middle of the night and some of these places don't have lounges. Like, sorry, like you're gonna have to go somewhere else. But
yeah, so you shouldn't, and I think that's a great way to wrap this up. You shouldn't base your decision on where you're gonna stay. I mean, yes, budget is a huge consideration of that, but you shouldn't say like, I'm gonna spend a lot of money, so I'm gonna have a really great time at this resort. Because if you are like us and you just want to eat French fries in bed, you may not be able to get that. If you really want to go to certain parks, like if you want to spend all of your time at Hollywood Studios and Epcot, but you stay at Animal Kingdom Lodge, that's a long bus ride for you each day to go over there.
Yeah.
So typically, like what I will do is say like, what is it that you're trying to accomplish from this? And like learn about what my clients want so I can put them at the right resort.
Yeah.
But you have to have that knowledge. And I think we've covered a lot of that here of like, what is it that you should look at when you're looking at different resorts? Do you care about the food? Do you care about the pools? Do you care about whether your room, the hallway is indoor or outdoor? Do you care about the transportation? Do you have a scooter, a stroller? There's so many things that go into picking the right resort for you that it can get overwhelming.
Yeah.
But what I'm hearing from this is that you want to go back to Contemporary. And stay in a theme park view.
No, it has been interesting to try the different, because again, we got so used to just, here's the resort, here's Pop, this is what we're used to. But getting to see these other resorts and really look at them more critically, mm-hmm. in different ways, are like, okay, well, this is not cool because there's only one bus stop, or there's, you know, and so you have to wait even longer. So they expect you to walk. Mm-hmm. Or if there's, you know, the food options, we're getting to look at, okay, this is the type of food like they have here, or what are the options they hear and, you know, they have at different places. So it's interesting to be able to look at these places more critically in that sense. But again, it's nice also just like being able to experience them the way they're meant to be experienced too. So
yeah, that's been fun. So I think that's a good place to wrap up this episode. If you are watching us on YouTube, drop us a comment and let us know what it is that you prioritize about your Disney vacation, because we did not have chicken strips on our list at all until very recently. It surprised us. And if you're listening to this on your favorite podcast app, you can head over to Instagram at Princess and Scoundrel Show and drop us a comment there with your preferences.
Until next time.